Harvard Paul Farmer Global Surgery Research Fellow Rhodes Scholar, first major college football player in nearly a quarter century to earn a Rhodes Scholarship, chairman of the Myron L. Roll Foundation, third-team All-American at Florida State. He was the 207th pick in the 2010 draft, and he is the third person in history to be a Rhodes Scholar and an NFL player. Myron Roll is my guest. Myron, so nice to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Jim. Appreciate
it's good
it.
To have you. Thank you so much. In fact, there's so much I want to talk to you about, but before we get into everything, how are you and your family holding up? How are things?
You know, it's pretty chaotic around here right now. You know, obviously, our hospital is one of the largest hospitals in the East Coast, and 1,000-bed hospital with so many people coming from Maine, New Hampshire, all over the country to be seen and treated here in Boston. And, you know, our equipment's low, and our staff is overworked and overwhelmed right now. Our neurosurgical floor, we transferred a lot of our patients either to rehab facilities quickly or to other floors because we're reserving floors for COVID-19 patients because the influx has been ridiculous. So it's really hectic right now, but we're holding steady and we're trying to stay safe on our own and trying to do the best we can.
Myron Roll is joining us. I can appreciate that response, and I'm going to follow up on some of that. Let me ask you this. Back in February, you tweeted in part, quote, several instruments fire me up in our neurological unit as much as the sauna pet. What exactly is that, and how does that work? What kind of an impact has that had on you as a doctor?
Oh, man, it's amazing. So we have some amazing brain tumor specialists here. And I'm actually going into pediatric neurosurgery, but there are a lot of pediatric brain tumors that I'll be kind of tackling as I go on in my career. But I was working on an adult with a benign tumor, meningioma, in the convexity, so sort of near the surface of the brain, and was causing some seizures and some pain. So the Sonopet is basically this ultrasound, high-aspirating instrument that you basically just core out the middle of the tumor, and it eviscerates the tumor right in front of your eyes. And then the tumor sort of falls in and of itself. So as you core out the middle part, the edges sort of just like come towards you and just crumble. And then you can peel away the edges from the vessels that are sort of feeding into the meningioma and take it all out. It is amazing. It's like magic. It not only increases the expediency of the surgery, but it also just gets great results. I just love it. And whenever I have it in my hand, I'm like, I feel like a boss. I feel like a wand from Harry Potter. It's great.
Amazing. Myron Roll is joining us. What an amazing description. And then back in November, you tweeted in part, quote, today I was led through two awesome spine operations by my attending doctor, end quote. What was that experience like?
Well, that was amazing because, you know, these are two cases of people who had, serious significant neck pain and also some radicular symptoms. They were having trouble walking, and they were just very uncomfortable. And they had radiographic findings of stenosis of their spinal cord that was causing these symptoms. And my attending is a young guy, and he's very, very, education-focused. And he just walked me through each step, you know, and challenged me, okay, what do you want to do next? Okay, what if this happens? What do you do? What if this happens? What do you do? It put me back into being a football player as if a receiver comes out and, you know, their split is, you know, right near the hash marks. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I wasn't expecting him to come out here, but he can run this route or that route or this route. And so you just had to think about all the options that are available to you. And that was the first time, I think, in the operating room where I really felt like I was going through the steps of option 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and coming out successful on the other end of it. So it was great.
I would imagine going through the progressions there is very different. Myron Roll is joining us. So, Myron, what's it mean to you and your department if there's an influx of patients? For instance, does that mean that some of the neurological cases would have to be postponed or delayed to free up resources for COVID patients? How does that work?
Yes, you're absolutely right. So our elective cases have been either canceled or postponed. Our clinics have been done virtually. So we just call up our patients. So we do like Zoom, you know, video conferences to try to tell our patients, hey, you know, how you doing? You know, I'm looking at your scan, it looks okay. So you don't get that in-person feel anymore. And then some of our ICUs and some of our operating rooms actually are soon to be transformed into, beds actually, like rooms for people who need oxygen support and supplementation. So it is, you know, my whole day-to-day life now as a neurosurgeon has been transformed by this. And I don't mind it, honestly, because I know this is a very pressing issue and everybody has to be involved. Everybody has to play a role. And as surgeons, if we can do anything possible to help our hospital, help our patient population, then we'll do that. And that's what we've been at.
And thank you so much for that. Let me ask you this. How do you go about making sure that you are safe and you are protected in the hospital at this time?
Yeah, another great question. You know, we have these masks that our hospital is now requiring everyone to wear, the surgical mask. But there's also the N95 sort of special protection mask that I would put on going into a patient's room. I make sure I wash my hands thoroughly all the time. I already do that as a neurosurgeon resident. So, you know, I'm always washing my hands, but now it's even closer attention to detail than I had before. I glove up all the time. I put gowns on. I make sure that when I take off all the things, when I leave the room, I take them off in a sterile and proper fashion. And then when I leave the hospital, I make sure I take off my scrub before I come home. So, you know, it's important to protect myself and my family so that I and other people are able to, as healthcare workers, we're able to be valuable to the fight against COVID-19 right now, for sure.
He is a neurosurgeon, Myron Rolla, joining us for a few more moments. You know, Myron, if I were to go back to last year when Hurricane Dorian was heading to the Bahamas, what kind of emotions were you feeling as you watched that entire thing unfold?
Oh, my goodness. As you know, I'm from the Bahamas, and it was hard. You know, being up here in the ivory towers of Harvard and, you know, all these intellectual giants, and then getting WhatsApp messages from my family saying that, you know, the house is destroyed and they can't find their neighbor and, you know, they're up in the attic and, you know, everything's shut down. It was tough. So I called up my president of our hospital, Peter Slavin, and asked him, you know, what can I do? You know, is there any team from Mass General Hospital headed down to the Bahamas? He put me in contact with some people who are going down. I asked my chairman, Bob Carter, here in neurosurgery, if I could go. He said, absolutely. I went down there. Didn't do any neurosurgery, didn't do any brain or spine surgery, but I was able to help sort of in an urgent care, primary care setting for some of my homeland people. And it was great. It felt wonderful to be able to have an impact and to come home as sort of a, you know, a son of the soil and, you know, just create change that way. So it was a good experience, and our country is still rebuilding, but it was good.
Yeah, I would imagine. It would seem to me that it would be so hard to have an experience like that and not have it have a lasting impact on you. How much did it stay with you even after you did return to Boston?
You know, it stayed with me a lot, honestly. I mean, I made a presentation in front of our department speaking about the efforts. I continuously talk about it on my social media platforms. How our country is still rebuilding. My parents are still rebuilding some of their homes. My aunts and uncles are doing the same. But you know what it does, Jim, for me, honestly, it gives me faith in the people of the Bahamas and just people in general. When tragedy hits, unfortunately, sometimes you can either run or you can step forward. And I feel like our country really stepped forward and band together as a unit and looked in solidarity, prayed together, housed people who were coming from Abaco or Grand Bahama without homes. You know, fed people who didn't have their homes. You know, it was just a wonderful display and expression of the goodness of human nature. And it's unfortunate, again, that a tragedy has to bring that out of us, but it did, and I'm proud. And I plan on going back, you know, in a couple months or so, once all this stuff sort of settles out with COVID-19, just check on my family and make sure that we're still progressing in the right direction.
Myron, you're a reassuring voice. It's a reassuring message, to be sure. Before I let you go, last year you were selected as a Harvard Paul Farmer Global Surgery Research Fellow. What did it mean to you to receive that honor, and what does that mean for your work going forward?
Yeah, so, you know, it's wonderful. Matter of fact, when I was actually applying for the Rhodes Scholarship, I read a book called Mountains Beyond Mountains by Tracy Kidder. It chronicled the life of Paul Farmer. And, you know, his story, coming from Harvard, going to Haiti and shooting, you know, the vulnerable populations down there was certainly inspiring for me. And the reason why, actually, that I went into medical anthropology at Oxford, that's where I studied, and, you know, looks at the social and cultural aspects of medicine. So in our fourth and fifth year of residency here at Mass General, we're able to, you know, research and do what we want. And a couple of my colleagues are going into the lab and doing basic science, but I wanted to do global surgery, global neurosurgery. I want to take what we have here, the resources and the knowledge and the skills that I have in America, and bring those to other parts of the world that may not ever touch a neurosurgeon. So I'll be able to go to Uganda and Zambia and some other parts of sub-Saharan Africa and deliver treatment to a pediatric neurosurgical population, kids who have big heads, hydrocephalus, or have spina bifida, or have some sort of, you know, really bad neurosurgical disease burden. And the Paul Farmer Global Surgery Fellowship sort of provides a vehicle for me to go into these vulnerable and disenfranchised communities and treat. And then ultimately get to go back to the Bahamas and, you know, provide care for, you know, my family and loved ones there. So it's a wonderful opportunity. Harvard is bustling with resources, and I just wanted to take advantage of it. As a kid from Florida State, you know, I just came up here at this Ivy League and was like, hey, this is available. Let's go after it. Let's get it done.
You know, as a kid from Florida State, since you mentioned that, let me finally ask you this before I let you go. You and I have talked so many times over the years. Going back to your playing career, you've always struck me as somebody who had a plan and a vision. So is this the life that you envisioned, or could you make the argument that this is even better and more impactful than you could have ever envisioned?
You know, now I think it's certainly much more impactful for sure. If you had asked me back then when you and I were talking a lot, you know, when I was playing at FSU, Bobby Bowden, you know, Garden Gold, I was like, man, I want to play for 10 years in the NFL. You know, I want to go to the Super Bowl, be a Pro Bowler. You know, I only played 3 years in the NFL and, you know, didn't really get a lot of playing time on the field in and of itself. But I actually, I'm, you know, grateful that that actually happened as I look back on it, because my hands were spared. I'm able to physically do surgeries in the operating room. I did not have any concussions or any lasting traumatic brain injury, so I'm able to think through some of the problems that are presented to me daily. And now I'm able to have an impact and a reach on people and save lives, thankfully, with the help of, you know, fellow doctors and nurses and staff here at Mass General. So I think it's worked out very well. I'm excited. Just going to continue to grow. And hopefully, you know, even though football has left me physically, I can't play it anymore. But if there's a way that I can, you know, have a foot into the game to help with traumatic brain injury and concussions and sort of give sort of a perspective from a medical perspective or someone who played the game, I'd love to do that too. So I'm keeping that option open as well, for sure.
And wouldn't that be great? A neurosurgeon at Mass General Hospital and Harvard Medical School, a Rhodes Scholar. Myron Roll is my guest. As I mentioned, Myron, it's a really reassuring message, and you are a reassuring voice. So good to have you back on, and thank you so much for doing it.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you, man.
Great. Appreciate you very much. Great talking to you, Myron. Much respect. Wow. Nobody like him. I'm blown away every single time I have a conversation with him, but never more so than today. 1-800-636-8686. Your thoughts on that? Phone lines are open. Top of the hour, Denver Broncos defensive lineman Jarrell Casey is my guest.